Chapter 7, Weak Faith and Strong Faith. Weak faith. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Romans chapter 4, verse 19. Weak faith is a result of the lack of exercise of faith, or the non-exercise of faith. What does that mean? When you hear God's word and don't act upon it, your faith will be weak. Remember, I say little faith is a result of insufficient information from God's word, but weak faith is a result of not acting on the information you have. Have you ever heard someone say, "I know the Bible says so, but let's face reality"? What could be more real than the word of God? God's word is absolute reality. Reality means truth, and God's word is truth. John chapter 17, verse 17. I always get amazed at folks who say they know the Bible says something, yet they're not acting on it. For example, a Christian says, "I know the Bible says by his stripes we were healed," but he's lying down sick. You say to him, "Brother, the Bible says you were healed, so act on the word by proclaiming your healing." Then he responds, "Just give me some time. I know the Bible says so, but this pain is too much. I can't even place my feet on the ground. My head is aching seriously." You see, he can quote the scriptures, he can even preach it, but he's not acting on it. That's weak faith. You say you know it, but you're not acting on it. You're considering the pain instead of acting on God's word. You have the information from God's word, and not only can you quote it, you can even teach it and share it with others, but you're not doing it. Your faith will be weak, and when you face the crisis of life, it will not work. Your weak faith will cause you to stagger, and as a result, fear will grip you and you'll be defeated by the crisis of life. Then you begin to wonder, "Why did God do this to me?" God didn't do it to you. It was your faith that couldn't carry you. Your faith didn't work because it was weak. Look at what the Bible says about Abraham. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Romans chapter 4, verse 20. He staggered or wavered not at the promise of God. When your faith is weak, you'll waver and stagger. You'll ask for proof before you can believe God's word. There you are praying or talking to God about something, and suddenly you receive a prophecy concerning it. You hear God say, "Cheer up, I've already done what you're asking for." Then you begin to rejoice because in your spirit you sense the note of victory. But outwardly, it doesn't look as though anything has changed in line with the word of prophecy you got from God. A few days or even weeks later, you start wondering, "I know God said it, but nothing has changed." You now start praying and asking God for the same thing all over again as though you never prayed about it before. You even start asking everybody to help you pray. Now you're praying and asking for something God already gave you a rhema word about, something he told you he's done already. That's unbelief. Your faith can't work that way. You got the information, but you haven't acted on it. That's weak faith. So what is the cure for weak faith? Curing weak faith. The cure for weak faith is acting on the word, acting on the information you've received. If you want your faith to be great and strong, start doing the word. For example, the Bible says, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. So what should you do? Start practicing that scripture in your life. Give thanks in every situation. Let your life become an unending stream of praise and thanksgiving to God. Irrespective of what happens, you'll always say, "Thank you, Jesus." You praise him in everything. That's acting on the word. You see, the more you exercise your faith, the stronger your faith gets. And the way to exercise your faith is by acting on the word. You tell yourself, the word of God says, by his stripes we were healed. Therefore, I refuse to be sick. I'm not the sick trying to be healed. Sickness, disease, and infirmity have no place in my body. Therefore, I refuse to lie down in bed sick or remain in this wheelchair or go about with crutches. For I am the heel of the Lord, because the word says so. That's acting on the word. You take God's word as the only truth and final arbiter in every circumstance of life. You refuse to be deterred by anything that's not consistent with God's word. For your faith to become strong and not weak, and to produce results, you must be a doer of the word. You must practice the word. As Christians, we are word practitioners. We practice the word because God's word is practicable. So when the Bible says, for example, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You practice it. You practice exactly what the word says in your life. First, you say to yourself, I refuse to fear. I reject anxiety. Then you go ahead and make your request known to God and receive peace into your heart. From then on, you refuse to complain, murmur, act, or think as if the devil has the upper hand in anything that concerns you. Every day, you give God praise because you know he's granted your heart's desire. That's faith. That way, you're exercising your faith and building your faith muscles. Some people know how to build their physical shape. Have you ever seen some of those well-trained, very athletic, macho-looking guys? They spend a lot of time in the gym keeping in shape, building their muscles by exercising frequently. They run, jog, do press-ups and push-ups, all in the bid to build a strong, healthy, fit, and agile physical body. Do you realize this is the same manner you build your spirit as well? Just as lack of physical exercise makes your muscles weak, so also lack of the faith exercise makes your faith muscles weak. Without exercising yourself, your body may be big but weak. The same way, your faith appears much but weak if you don't exercise it by doing the word. You must become a word practitioner. For instance, Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. That means when you pray or ask God for anything, all you need do is believe that you receive them, and they are yours. In other words, having prayed and asked God to grant you a particular request, maybe a new job, you should immediately begin to testify and give God praise because your request has been granted. Your confession becomes, thank you, Jesus, I've got what I asked for. Jesus said, whatsoever things I desire when I pray, I should believe that I receive them and I shall have them. I believe I've received a new job. Therefore, I have a new job. Glory to God. That's how to act on the word. You say to yourself, against hope, I believe in hope that I have a new job. Irrespective of what you hear, see, or how you feel. You may even have gone for a job interview and have been rejected, yet you refuse to be frustrated or despondent. You refuse to endorse such a verdict or allow it not your faith. You maintain your stand on God's word and keep declaring, I have a new job. God gave it to me when I prayed and I received it. Before long, that job will show up. Even if it never existed, it will be created because of you. That's what the word says. This is the kind of attitude you must have after praying and asking God for anything. Some people, after praying, instead of rejoicing and giving God praise for answering their prayers, begin to look forlorn and depressed, as though they were whipped by God for daring to ask him for something. That's not the faith attitude. Remember I said earlier, there's a faith attitude, and that's the attitude that tells whether or not you receive whatever it was you asked for when you prayed. The way to develop your faith and build it strong is by putting it to work. That's how to exercise your faith muscles. Until your faith is strong, it won't produce much results. And for your faith to be strong, you must exercise it by acting on the word. You must act your believing. When you start out acting on God's word, you may find yourself making some mistakes. But I want you to know that God has made allowance for your mistakes. He knows you're learning. So don't get discouraged or frustrated about the mistakes you make in your journey of faith with God. Keep acting on the word. For example, maybe the first time you tried to preach the gospel and lead someone to Christ, you thought you didn't quite get it right. You got into an argument with the person and couldn't make a headway in getting the fellow to give his heart to Christ. Don't get discouraged by that. Keep exercising your faith muscle in that area by preaching the gospel again and again at every opportunity. There are Christians who have never led someone to Christ, and they've been Christians a long time, maybe 10 years or even more. That's sad. They can't think of a single person they've led to Christ. Yet they believe if they spoke to someone about Jesus, he would be saved. But they've never done it. Why? They haven't exercised their faith in that area yet. Imagine you saying to yourself in all honesty and sincerity, I'm going to talk to someone today about Jesus. I'm going to win a soul to Christ today. You get on the bus to work or school or wherever you're going, and there you meet someone. As you're about to open your mouth to preach, your heart begins to pound. You start debating with yourself, should I say something or should I not? How do I begin? What if he doesn't listen to me? While debating within yourself on how to begin, what to say, and how to say it, the man gets off at the next stop. Of course, you'll feel bad and regret your failure to act. But let me tell you what to do the next time you have such an opportunity. Use it. Don't debate within yourself whether or not to speak. Don't ask yourself, how do I start? Just start. You say, what if I make a mistake? Make it, but start. That's how to exercise your faith and put it to work. You dare to take your step according to God's word. A learner does not become perfect without mistakes, but work your way to perfection. Tell yourself, I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit, and I'll depend on Him to help me. Then you'll remember that the Bible says, open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Psalm chapter 81, verse 10. So you go ahead, open your mouth, and begin to speak. You'll be amazed because the Holy Spirit will give you the right words to speak. He will also help you minimize your errors as you allow Him to guide you. Start winning souls, and as you do, your faith will be strengthened. When you begin talking to people about Jesus, your faith will become stronger for the next time. Seize the next opportunity and talk to someone about Jesus. You'll be amazed how your faith has become strengthened overnight. Start doing the things you really want to do that are in line with God's word. The more you do them, the stronger your faith will become. You develop and strengthen your physical muscles by exercising them. You just can't keep sleeping and eating and expect your muscles to get stronger. They will never get strong that way. They only get stronger by exercise. That's the same thing with faith. Your faith will become great and strong and produce greater results because you're exercising it. Have you ever seen a big fellow with weak muscles? He's huge, but he's weak. What's he supposed to do? Eat more? No. He got that big from eating. Now his body is big, but that doesn't mean it's strong. You tell him to run a few yards and he can't. He can't do anything a little exerting without panting heavily, but he's big. How can he become fit and strong? He needs to be engaged in more physical activities. He needs to involve himself in physical exercise. That way, his big, weak body will become strong. The way that God grew large from eating is the same way your faith increases by hearing, eating God's word. By feeding on God's word, you grow your faith big. Know that even though your faith is great, it can't do anything if it's weak faith. For your great faith to work, it's got to be strong faith. Strong faith. God tells us something beautiful about Abraham in Romans chapter 4, verse 19 to verse 20. He says, "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God." This portion of scripture lets us know the kind of faith Abraham demonstrated that made him God's friend and the father of faith. He demonstrated strong faith in God's word. He staggered not at the promise, the word of God, through unbelief. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. This immediately lets us know that one of the characteristics of strong faith is it gives glory to God. When your faith is strong, it's very easy for you to believe whatever God tells you in His Word. You're quick to believe once you hear God's Word. Not only are you quick to believe, you also begin to glorify and worship God because you know that His Word that you believed, accepted, and endorsed has already come to pass in your life. This is the faith that never fails. It's an unqualified, unrivaled, irrevocable committal to God and His Word. You cast yourself on God, taking His Word as the absolute truth. You hinge your believing on His eternal and unfailing Word only. When this becomes your resolve and the way you live your life, your faith will be strong and productive. Strong faith is the faith that works. When Jesus told His disciples to have the God kind of faith, He was teaching His disciples, and of course the rest of us as well, to have strong faith. Jesus didn't say, "Well, try to grow your faith." Neither did He say, "I know your faith is still weak, but one day it'll get strong." Rather, He said, "Have the God kind of faith." Not the Thomas kind of faith, not little faith or weak faith, but strong faith. Strong faith is the faith that speaks. And it comes to pass. That's the faith God used in creating the heavens and the earth. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He did it by speaking words of faith. He spoke, and what He said came into being." Everything that exists, everything that we see today, the sun, the moon, the stars, all except man, came into existence that way. When He said, "Let there be light," light came into existence. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. Every word God spoke during the creation came to pass because He spoke in faith. God is a faith God. He believed. He knew that whatever He said will come to pass. That's strong faith. Jesus defined strong faith in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, when He said, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." In Mark 11, verse 12, he was hungry and wanted to eat some fruits. Seeing a fig tree afar off, he thought he could get some fruits out of it to assuage his hunger. On getting to the tree, there were no fruits, but leaves only because it wasn't time for figs. Then Jesus spoke to the tree and said, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." And his disciples heard it. Mark chapter 11, verse 14. His disciples heard him when he spoke to the tree, meaning he wasn't talking in his mind. He spoke audibly, such that his disciples that were present with him heard what he said. Now, after Jesus talked to the tree, it looked the same as it was before he talked to it. But 24 hours later, his disciples observed that the fig tree had dried up from the roots, which clearly suggests that when Jesus talked to the tree, it died immediately from the roots. The roots were in the ground. No one could immediately tell that anything had happened to the tree. More so, everything else looked the same. The branches, the stem, the leaves, etc. Meanwhile, the tree was already dead from the root. Its source of life had been cut off. Seeing that the tree had withered away, the disciples were amazed. Then Peter said, "Master, look, the tree you cursed has withered away." It was in response to Peter's statement that Jesus said to his disciples, "Have the faith of God," meaning have the God kind of faith. He wanted them to know that with this kind of faith, they could do anything. Just like Jesus when he spoke to the fig tree, each time you release words of faith, whether or not you feel or see any change wouldn't make any difference. In your spirit, you know that the words you've spoken with your mouth will surely come to pass. Strong faith does not give consideration to the outward appearance of things. First, I said it gives glory to God. Secondly, it doesn't consider the circumstances. Don't consider the circumstances. The Bible says Abraham considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. Neither did he consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Romans chapter 4, verse 19. Abraham was 100 years old when God told him he was going to have a son and call his name Isaac. Though he was already well stricken in age, he refused to consider his body as dead, as being unable to reproduce. Neither did he consider the fact that Sarah's womb was dead. He was undeterred by every physical and natural evidence that challenged the ability of God. Everything that he knew in this world told him it was impossible for him to have a child. His body, as far as reproducing was concerned, was dead. He was about 100 years old. Sarah had been pronounced barren. Yet, Abraham didn't consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. What then was Abraham considering? He was considering the word. He gave thought, attention, and focus only to the word that God had spoken to him. As far as Abraham was concerned, God said it, and he was well able to bring it to pass. That's strong faith, when you refuse to consider anything else but God's word that has come to you. That Abraham didn't consider his body or the deadness of Sarah's womb doesn't mean he didn't see his body, or he didn't know that Sarah's wife was barren. He saw his body. The body belonged to him. He knew his body had become old and frail. He could feel it and could see it. He equally knew his wife was barren. He was very much aware of that, but he refused to consider it. That's what faith is. Faith doesn't mean that you don't feel the pain. Faith doesn't mean that you can't see the trouble. Faith means I see the trouble, all right, but I refuse to consider it. I refuse to let it dictate the circumstances of my life or my existence. I refuse to let it dictate how I'm going to behave. You tell yourself, I'm not going to let what I see, how I feel, and everything I know that's contrary to God's word run my life. I refuse to consider anything but God's word. Boy, that's strong faith. Learn and employ this important truth in everything. Consider God's word only. Let God's word be the only thing that moves you. Let it be what forms your beliefs, impressions, and mindset about life. Let it be the only truth, the only information by which you live. Then your life will be an unending stream of success, peace, progress, and prosperity. This is where some folks miss the mark in their faith walk. They stagger at the promise of God, the word of God. One time they believe and another time they don't believe. In a moment they'll say, "I believe God, I believe his word." The next moment they'll say, "Oh God, please help me believe." Don't stagger at the promise of God through unbelief. In other words, don't let unbelief run your life. The Bible says Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He kept on testifying. He refused to stagger. As far as he was concerned, God had done it already, so he maintained his confession. In your life, this is what you must do. God's word to you are yea and amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. That means they're settled and established. Your role is to believe them and give no place to doubt and unbelief. Be addicted to God's word. Groom yourself to see whatever God says to you in his word as the highest law to live by. Tell yourself, if God said it, then it's done, for his word never fails. Therefore, I refuse to doubt. I refuse to stagger or allow doubt and unbelief choke his word in my heart. Then you begin to glorify him for his word. Maybe you woke up one day and suddenly discovered a growth somewhere in your body. And then you acted your faith and commanded the growth to disappear. From then on, do like Abraham. Even if you can still see the growth, refuse to consider it. Start giving glory to God. Keep praising him and start telling everybody that God's word says you were healed. Therefore, no growth can survive in your body. Keep testifying about it. Give an offering for it. Tell everybody the growth is gone. You already have your miracle. This was what Abraham did, which was pleasing in the sight of God and made him qualify Abraham's faith as strong faith. Abraham glorified God for his word and told everybody his name was no longer Abram, exalted or assumed father, but Abraham, which meant father of many. They must have laughed him to scorn, asking, "So where are the children?" But he knew he already had God's word. Therefore, as far as he was concerned, his children were inside him. He was already father of many. You know, if you are a pastor or a minister and you're listening to this audiobook, you too can become Abraham. You can begin to see your church and ministry grow with so many members inside you. Have the doctors told you that it's impossible for you to have children because your fallopian tube is blocked or has been removed? Let me share one of several beautiful testimonies with you. A lady by the name Virginia had been married for 6 years without any issue. She was diagnosed by doctors to have an ovarian cyst that prevented her from conceiving. When she enrolled at our healing school, she learned to apply the word of faith to her situation. And as an act of faith, she began shopping for baby things even before she became pregnant. After I prayed for her and her husband, she conceived in less than a month. Her faith produced results, and today she's the happy mother of a beautiful baby boy. Act on these truths that I'm sharing with you. Become Abraham. Begin to see your children inside you. Like Abraham, refuse to stagger in unbelief. Everyone will see you carry your baby before you know it. All you need to do is refuse to stagger at God's word. Set your gaze on the word. Become fully persuaded. You know, unbelief is a spirit. Fear also is a spirit, and they try to attack people. When fear or unbelief attacks you, go on your knees before God. Put your Bible right in front of you. Don't only read or meditate on the scriptures, but also begin to quote them out openly. Begin to say them until you're fully saturated. The Bible says, when the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 3. Meaning, there will be an overflow. That's when you become fully persuaded. This is the third characteristic of strong faith. When your faith is strong, you're fully persuaded about God's word. At this time, not a demon hatched out of hell will be able to convince you to doubt or stagger at God's word. You know you have your miracle, irrespective of what the circumstances indicate. you come to that specific, unassumed knowledge that whatever God has promised, He's faithful and able to perform. Therefore, you're unperturbed. You're at peace because you know you have it made. Praise God. Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Romans chapter 4, verse 21. This is strong faith, and this is the faith that works. You know, you can't be fully persuaded when you're listening to the wrong stories from people. You can't build a faith that works when you listen to everything else but God's word. Fear will dominate you. Men talk fear, but God talks faith. For you to build your faith to that level, where you're fully persuaded and convinced about God's word to you, you need to keep listening to the word. Keep getting the word of God into your system. Don't allow information from the newspapers, which are always laden with fear and unbelief, cause you to stagger at God's word. When you keep listening to the news on television, you will hear a lot of words that inspire fear. But when you dominate and control your mind with the word of God, you'll become fully persuaded. You know, until you're fully persuaded, you may stagger. You'll be unsure and unconvinced about God's word. That's when you start asking yourself, I wonder if this word that I've been confessing for so long is really going to come to pass. Realize that as you keep bombarding your mind with the word of God, you'll become fully persuaded about God's promise to the point it becomes the only thing you think and talk about. That's when doubt and unbelief becomes completely subdued in your life. Jesus said, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Doubt or unbelief is the greatest thief of God's blessing. Jesus tells us that when you don't doubt in your heart, anything you say with your mouth will come to pass. For that to happen, you must be fully and completely persuaded. You mount a guard on your heart that says, "No doubt allowed." This is what you need if you've been diagnosed with cancer, HIV, or diabetes, or any other kind of sickness, disease, or infirmity. Maybe you were told it's impossible for you to be a success in anything in life. You don't need prayer. You don't need to cry, beg, or run around looking for some help from man. Instead, begin to meditate on the Word of God. Become fully persuaded about what it says. Become fully persuaded that you're a bundle of success. You have an excellent spirit and have been ordained to prosper in all things. Become fully persuaded that you're not the sick seeking healing. Become fully persuaded that you are a new creature, a partaker, sharer, participator in the divine nature. Therefore, sickness, disease, and infirmity cannot thrive in your body. They just can't stay. Become fully persuaded of these things.